Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph of Masechet Gittin, in the middle of the analysis of Mishnah of writing on Mechubar. The Mishnah said, Al Ha'alei Shel Zayit, you can write it on a leaf of an olive tree, and then you can write it on the hand of a slave and give her the slave, and you can write it on the horn of a cow and give her the cow. So Bishtama Yada Ve'eved, I understand why you have to hand over the slave, Lo'efshe the Nikzeh, you can't cut his hand off and give that to her, so you give her the whole Eved. Elekaren Shalpara Likzeh V'leit Ve'la, but when it comes to the horn of a cow, why don't you just cut the horn off and give it to her after you wrote on it? The answer is, Amar Krav Chatav V'natan La. It says, V'chatav Sefer Kitov V'natan La, meaning you write it and give it to her, meaning, Mishen Mechusar L'Ketiva Untina. You have to have a situation where there's nothing in between writing and giving, meaning there's no obstacle to giving once you've written. As opposed to here, where you have to write, then cut it off, and then give. So you have two options. One option is to cut the horn off, then write it and give it to her, or write it on the animal and then hand the animal to her. Now, Rabbi Yossi Aglili has two things that he invalidates what mentioned in the Mishnah. One is foodstuffs, and the other is living things. Right, my time at Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Tanya Sefer, the text says, Katav la Sefer, Ein li ela Sefer, the text only says Sefer, means I have to write it on a scroll. Minayin l'rabot kol davar, how do I know I can write it on anything? Tamalomar v'chatav la, it says you write it, meaning, mikom makom, anything you can write on. So, imken ma tamalomar Sefer, so why does the Torah say Sefer? Sefer, Katav la Kritut. So, ma Sefer, davar she'in baruach chayim ve'in ochel, just like a scroll is something that is dead and is not food stuff, I've called davar she'in baruach chayim ve'in ochel. Now, why Rabbi Yossi Aglili picked that particular characteristic is unclear. Rabbanan, so how do the Rabbanan respond who say you may write on something like food stuff, like an olive leaf? Iktiv bas b'sefer, if it says v'chatav b'sefer, k'dika amart. Then I would understand that the vehicle has to be a sefer. Hashtu dechtiv sefer. Now that it says ketav la sefer kritut l'sfirat dvarim hudata, means it has to be something that tells the story, meaning on whatever you write it. It doesn't define the material, but rather the content. Rabbanan hay v'chatav mayavdilei. So what do Rabbanan do with v'chatav if they don't need it to say you can write on anything because they say the material is meaningless? Mibayelahu b'chtivam mitkareshet v'mitkareshet b'chesef. It's v'chatav la to tell you the only way to divorce is through a writ and not through some other vehicle like giving her money. The pasuk that isn't mentioned explicitly here, but I put it on as pasuk 2 on the page. In the context of gerushin, it says v'yatzami beitov v'chav haital ish acher. She leaves his house and goes and marries another, and those two are compared, which is throughout kiddushin the most central hekesh yitzia lahavaya. So then I learn mahavaya bekesef yitzia nami kesef. I would think just like kiddushin can happen through kesef, so gerushin can happen through kesef. Kamash malan. Therefore, v'chatav teaches us that. V'idach. So how does Rabbi Yossi Aglili say? Because he agrees, you can't do gerushin bekesef. Nafgalei mi sefer kritut. Because it says sefer kritut, and according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili's world, sefer here refers to the material. So sefer kortav ein davar acher kortav. Nothing else creates excision, kritut, except for a sefer. V'idach. So what do Rabbanan do back with that? Mi barile davar koret lebeno levena. Chachamim learn that Sefer Kritut is not there to define that only a Sefer can do it, that they give it for Chatav, but rather that it has to be a full excision, so that if you make a condition which is permanent, like this is your get, Almanat, that you never drink wine or you never go to your father's house, it's not a get. If on the other hand it's for a particular amount of time, 30 days, then it's a get because at some point there's full excision. V'idach mikard kritut. Rabbi Yossi Aglili agrees with that halacha, but he says, I get that from the fact that instead of saying Sefer Karet, it says Sefer Kritut. V'idach, and this is how these often end up, karet kritut lo darshinan. Rabbanan say, karet kritut, no big difference, and therefore it's not worthy of attending to, and therefore kritut is only there for excision, for full excision. V'chatav is there only to tell me that's the only way to do it. And Sefer is there to tell me that that is the only thing that that cuts her off, etc. Okay. The next Mishnah, which continues on this theme, so let's say that you cannot write on something that's connected to the ground. If you wrote on something connected to the ground, which of course a question, you just said you can't do that, and then you disconnected it and you signed it and you gave it to her, kasher. And this is a mishnah we saw back in the beginning of the first parak, and we assigned it to Rav Meir, says Ede Chatima Karti. Rabbi Yehuda Posel, we saw this also, I should take Tivav Tov Chatima Tov Talush. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to write it and sign it when it's disconnected from the ground. Rabbi Yehuda Mater Omer Enkot Vin Lo Haniyar Machuk Velo HaDifturat. You can't write it on an already erased parchment on some sort of a skin, meaning that it's rough enough, it hasn't been worked over, that you could easily get in there and change some of the details after it was signed. Chachamim Machshirin, they allow it. Now, the Gemara immediately points out that contradiction that I noted, Ksaval Mechubar, in the second line it says if you wrote it on something Mechubar, Ramart Reisha Ein Kotvin, you just said you're not allowed to. Meaning that if you wrote it on Mechubar and left the Toref, which is his name, her name, the date, the place, and the line, Haret Mutar L'chol Adam, good. So that works. If you can write everything while it's Mechubar, then disconnect it and write the gist, the main information. And the whole thing follows Rabbi Elazar, Damar Edim Mesira Karti. Meaning that as long as you have proper edim to the Mesira, then I'm not concerned. In other words, the first line says that Ein Kotvin Al Chubar, meaning you're not allowed l'chatchila to write even the form part of it. But if you wrote just the form part and disconnected it, and then you wrote the Toref, that part which is unique to this get, and gave it to her, kasher. Resh Lo Kishamar, he says differently, chatmu shaninu. He says that really the Mishnah should read ein chotmin b'mechubar. Right, that's what you're not allowed to do. Rameir he, right, amar edi chatima karti. Says all I'm concerned about is the chatima. Therefore, Achi Gemar ein kotvin torav gzera shema yachtom. You're not allowed the chatchila to write the gist of the get, because you may even sign it that way. But ktavola torav. But if you wrote the entire get, including his name and her name and all of that, ktlasho chatmuvan anula, and then you uprooted it and then signed it, kasher, because you're a mayor. Now, that's the two ways of looking at our Mishnah. Is it Rabbi Elazar or is it Rabbi Meir? Now, Ktavala Cheres Shalatitz Nakuv. Let's say you have a plant, a potted plant, which has a hole in the bottom of the pot, which means that it is connected to the ground, sort of. You wrote it on the pottery, right? Then it's kasher. Deshakale v'yayiv le'niyala, because you give her the pot. Alalei Shalatitz Nakuv, but if you write it on a leaf in an Atzitz Nakuv, Abayimar kasher v'ravamar pasul, smachloket. Abaye mar kasher, why? To shakel ev yoyev le'niyala, you give her the whole plant. Rava mar pasul, gzera shami yiktom. Rava says that as a precaution against cutting off the leaf and giving it to her, which would be exactly replicating, writing it on mechubar and then on cutting it, therefore he passels it. Now, we're going to see a tangential discussion about laws dealing with mekach u'memkar with a potted plant. Atzit shalachad uzvayim shalacher. You own the pot, and somebody else has the seeds in it. Machar balatzitz leval zra'im, if the pot owner sold out to the seed owner, kevan shemashach kana, the minute that the seed owner pulls the pot, it's his. Machar bal zra'im lebalatzitz, but if the zra'im, the seed owner, sold out to the pot owner, so he has to take a kinyan on the zra'im. Lo kana shechzik b'zra'im, he has to do something like turn them over or water them or some other chazaka. Now, atzitu zra'im shalachad, let's try this one. Let's say they both belong to one guy. And he sells the whole thing to somebody else. Watch this. If he does a chazok on the zra'im, then he gets the entire thing. Based on the Mishnah and Kiddush in the first parak, is metaltalin. Those can be purchased along with karka, because of shtar v'chazaka. In other words, it's what we call a kinyan agav. So the zra'im are part of the land, and therefore he makes a kinyan via chazaka on the zra'im, or kesef shtar, and that brings along the atzitz, which oddly enough is considered metaltalin, oddly because in this context the seeds are within in the atzitz. Herzik batzitz, but if you grab the pot, af atzitz lo kana, you haven't gotten anything, because you have karka in it. Ad sheherzik bizra'im. Okay. Now, nikvo ba'aretz v'nofon b'chutz la'aretz. Let's say that the hole that the pot is the pot is sitting in Eretz Yisrael, so the hole is sitting on the ground of Eretz Yisrael, but nufo b'chutz la'aretz, the branch goes over to chutz la'aretz. Abaye Amar, Batar Nikvo Azlin. He said, you go after the hole, this thing is Eretz Yisrael, it's Chayv Masrot, etc. Rav Amar, Ravatar Nufo Azlin. He said, you go after the branch. Now, parenthetically, with the Ashrish Kulei Amalo Pligi, nobody disagrees if the thing has already taken root, that you go after the roots, and in this case, it would be an Eretz Yisrael Deka plant with all of the implications. Ki Pligi, but a low Ashrish. Their machloket is if it hasn't taken root. Over the Ashrish Lo Pligi, they don't disagree even if it's taken root. Vatnan, Shtei Ganot, Zu Al Gav Zu. If you have terraced gardens, one above the other, not on top of the other, terraced, V'yarek Ben Taim, and on the wall going up, there's some vegetables. Who does it belong to? Mer Mer Shal Elyon, it belongs to the upper one. Reuto Mer Shal Tachton, it belongs to the lower one. Which makes it sound as if food that is in the ground, or things that are planted, that are in the ground in one area, and they're rooted, but their airspace goes into another, their plant goes into the airspace of another area, that there's still a machloket about where it belongs. And the answer is no. Hatam kediktani tama. There, it's a different reason. It's local. Amar a mayor, because a mayor said explicitly why he believes it belongs to the upper terrace. Ma im yotzel yonli tol tafaro. If the other one wants to take his dirt away, in kanyerek, it takes the vegetables away. Rehuda ma im yotzel tachton malot et giyana tofar. But the lower one can fill up with the dirt, in kanyerek, and that's going to destroy the vegetables also. In other words, each one has a certain amount of power here, but that's unique to a terrace situation. It has nothing to do with Chutzlaritz Eretz Yisrael on a flat plain. But still, are you going to tell me that they don't disagree about a case where it's taken root? If you have a tree that's a little bit in Eretz Yisrael and a little bit in Chutzlaritz, the fruit are chulin, because of chutzlaritz, and teva, because of Eretz Yisrael, mixed together, which means you have to take trumot masrot from somewhere else on them. Divrei Rebbe. Rashbag omer hagadol b'chiyuv chayav, hagadol b'ptur patur. You look at the tree and you see where the border, where the boundary goes, anything on the Eretz Yisrael take aside and up, that's all chayav, the other stuff is patur, means you can divide it. Right, now my love, but miktsat nufo ba'aretz, miktsat nufo b'chutzlaretz, aren't we talking about a situation where it's rooted in Eretz Yisrael, but the branch goes over the border, and therefore you see that even there, there's a machloket, lo, miktsat shoreshin ba'aretz, miktsat shoreshin b'chutzlaretz, the boundary is running right through the roots of the tree. So why does Rashbag say we can split it? To mafsik tsunma, because below the loam, there's hard earth, which divides them, and so these roots are on this side, these roots are on that side. So my time to Rebbe, so why does Rebbe say they're mixed up? To Hadri Arvi, because the roots come up, and when they get to the airspace, they mix. In other words, they take nutrients from both sides. So my apology, so then what's the gist of the machloket? Rebbe says, once it comes into the air, the nutrients get mixed together. Rashbag says, no, each one stays on its own side, and therefore you can identify which was rooted, and therefore got nutrients from Eretz Yisrael, which from Chutz Laretz. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Mateiro Omer, he had this statement in the Mishnah. About using the inferior kind of parchments that could be forged. There's three kinds of pelts. They're called matzah, chifa, and diftara. What's matzah? With that, kemashma'o. It's like flat and boring. Velo madliach, it hasn't been salted. Velo kamiach, it hasn't been processed with some sort of flour. Velo afitz, it hasn't been worked over. L'mayhil chata, so why do we mention it? L'hotzat Shabbat. It's only mention in halacha is for the issue of carrying on Shabbat, because as you know, through the Mishnayot, in the first third of, at the end of the first third of Masechet Shabbat, or really towards the middle, goes through the shiurim for every possible thing that you could want to carry. How much is the minimum shiur to carry it to be chayav? So it's mentioned there. V'chama shiuro k'dinah shvom bar Yehuda k'dinatzur mishkal k'tana. It's got to carry enough that you could use it to tie up and bind a small weight. In other words, it has no intrinsic value except as a protection. V'chama rabaya kiriva deriva b'pumbadita. So 1/4 of the size of a pumbadita coin. Now chifa, what's that? To maliach v'lo kamiach v'lo afitz. It's salted, but not worked anymore beyond it. L'may hilchata, what's that for? L'otzat Shabbat, v'chamashir, what's its size? K'nan or k'dei lasot kamiach. A big enough piece of skin that you could write an amulet on it. Now, diftara, that's already more serious. To maliach v'kamiach v'lo afitz. It's been salted, it's had this other kind of work done on it, but it hasn't been fully processed. L'may hilchata, l'otzat Shabbat, v'chamashiro, how much is it? K'dei l'chtov alav et get. Big enough that you could write a get on it. So, that's already smaller. and so therefore because more processed. But you see from the fact that the shear is kedeich tov alava to get that you're allowed to write a get against Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. Chamim machshirin. So the chachamim say you can write on this material. Man chachamim. I'm Rabbi Lazar. So who is the author of this position? Rabbi Elazar, he, don't confuse them. Amar Rabbi Elazar is Rabbi Elazar the Amor, referring to Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, who is the Tana Damar, Edim Asirikarti. And therefore, I'm not concerned if the text has something funny about it, because the main thing that generates the Gerushin is Edim Asira. V'yam Rabbi Elazar, lo hishir Rabbi Elazar, elo la'altar. Parenthetically, he said that if you have a situation like that, he only permits it if you give it immediately. Mekanon, asrayamim lo. If she shows up with a get that's written on this inferior stuff 10 days after it was written, or a few days after it was written, then he doesn't allow it. Perhaps there was some sort of a condition. She brought it on the, there was some sort of condition that had to be met. And the Edim forgot about it, and since Edim is Sirakarti, therefore we need them to really be able to rely on it, which means Rabbi Elazar, by the way, will not permit any sort of get, even in the, without this inferior text, parchment, because he'll say, if we're relying on Edim Sira, then they have to be able to say, yes, we saw her divorce, but if she shows up 10 days later, they may forget that there was some sort of condition that had to be met, and they will allow her to be divorced, even though pe'alocha she's not, because the condition was not met. Rabbi Yochanan amar, filu mikana asrayamim. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Rabbi Elazar would even permit a get 10 days later, de'im ita dahave by tanoi, if there was really a tanoi, midchar dechiri. They'd remember the tanoi. They're the edim, they'd remember. V'yam Rabbi Elazar lechshir, Rabbi Elazar elo begitin. Rabbi Elazar, who said edim asir karti, only permits this inferior parchment for gitin. Shar shtarot lo, dichtiv, nutatem echli charas, taman yamdu yamim rabim. Yirmiyahu lamed bet, which as I mentioned earlier, is one of the key passages, the key passage in Nach, about shtarot, and where he wrote the shtar on the field and on atot, etc. He says, put these shtarot that you write on your fields in Eretz Yisrael, put them in pottery so that they last for a long time, which means that there's a halacha and shtar that has to be written on something that can last a long time. V'yochamar filu shtarot. Now he said, Rabbi Elazar says, even regular shtarot, they can be written on inferior material. Why? V'aktiv l'mayin yimdu yamim rabim. The text says they have to be able to last for a long time. It's atam etzatova kamash malan. That's not a halacha and shtar. That's good advice. You have a deed on property. You want to put it in such a way that it's going to last a long time. That doesn't mean that it's an invalid shtar if it's written in some other form. Okay, we will pause at this point and pick up with the next Mishnah, Hakok Shirin Lichtovet Haget, in the next podcast. Everybody should have a wonderful day.